I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
Woo! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host for 2 hours a day from 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinker out there, and you need it more than ever now. We've got a ton of information about what's going on in Ukraine, not so much militarily, but really what's behind the messaging that we're getting. And a pretty fascinating article on Mint Press News, along with just a whole series. I'm looking through my show notes now. I've got so many clips today, I may run short on time. These clips also include a lot. If you thought Joe Biden was dangerous to the United States when he is here in Washington, D.C., you ain't seen nothing yet. Biden was, over the past few days, over in Europe, in Poland, making a series of bizarre speeches. Really dangerous stuff, I got to tell you. For whatever danger Joe Biden is to the United States, every day that he wakes up and opens his mouth and recites the words of the people behind him, he is 10 times more dangerous when he is overseas. I hope he is home or getting there soon. So we've got a lot to look at today with what's going on overseas. We'll get to that in a few minutes here. Quotes of the day today. The Dalai Lama said, "Since armies are legal, we feel that war is acceptable. We have been brainwashed. War is monstrous. Its very nature is one of tragedy and suffering." PJ O'Rourke, got an interesting quote from him. PJ O'Rourke said, "Anyway, no drug, not even alcohol, causes the fundamental ills of society. If we're looking to, if we're looking for the source of our troubles, we shouldn't test people for drugs. We should test them for stupidity, ignorance, greed, and love of power." Yeah, that's that is where the problems lie. Dave Chappelle said, "Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe, say, or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise your convictions to be a compassionate person." And then this one will kind of take us into a lot of the show today, particularly when it comes to what is, you know, there's two kinds of war going on right now overseas. One is actual battleground stuff with weapons and death and destruction, and the other is a PR war, a messaging war. And I've got a great deal of information about that today for anybody who's interested in what you're being subjected to. But this is something from it's unrelated, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did an interview on his Defender show. He was talking with Michael Nevridakis, and they were talking largely about BlackRock and Vanguard, two of the largest asset managers in the world, BlackRock being the premier. We talk about them a lot here. They manage over $10 trillion now in assets. Larry Fink, their head globalist, played a clip from, I think, on Friday where he said, "You got to force new behaviors. And at BlackRock, we're forcing new behaviors." Well, during this interview, talking about the financial reach of BlackRock and Vanguard, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said this.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, Americans largely divide themselves as adherents to kind of the Fox worldview or the CNN worldview or the MSNBC worldview. And I think most of them would be surprised to know that, you know, all of those outlets are controlled by one company, and that the constraints of our debate are entirely taking place within guardrails that are controlled by these huge financial behemoths who are making sure that although there can be disagreement within that, you know, within that pasture, that we're all kept in safe constraints that don't threaten the prevailing economic model that from which they're profiting.
Absolutely.
And he's right. Well, what he's saying there, and it's always such a shame that he's got this voice impediment, whatever condition he's got, but he's basically saying, you know, everybody divides themselves. You're either kind of a Fox News guy or a CNN or MSNBC person. Most people not realizing, well, the same giant corporations control all of these networks. And what they're talking specifically there about BlackRock and Vanguard, but they're all owned by the same people. And that will also be true of some of the PR stuff, the messaging war that's going on right now when it comes to Ukraine that we'll talk about today as well. As usual, I've kept up a pretty unbroken streak for, I would say, decades of not watching the Oscars. Of course, we know what the news is all about. I don't really care. I don't think I've ever cared about the Oscars. That's always seemed like a, no offense here, no offense. It always kind of seemed like a chick thing to me. But I've never really been interested in the Oscars. There is the Chris Rock, Will Smith thing. I'm wildly uninterested in that, too, whether it was real or faked. It doesn't really matter to me. But I did notice a couple of things I wanted to mention. I found them odd. A program that we're still facing problems. Well, let me rephrase that. We're still being told we have a big problem with the Oscars, hashtag too white. There was a story I saw about this. Out of 35 nominations for the big five categories of this year, 94th Academy Awards, only seven include participants of Black, Asian, or Latin American ethnic backgrounds. The idea that this share of nominees doesn't reflect the demographics of the United States and serves to undermine the minority status of non-white voices in the movie industry led to hashtag OscarsSoWhite movement in 2015, which gained increased traction in 2016 after the Academy allegedly failed to address the concerns voiced by proponents of this movement. The issue that the movie industry doesn't reflect general society has also been backed by research in the past. For example, according to a study by the University of California, 26% of movie writers and 25% of movie directors had a minority background in 2020. While the group of people with a singular Hispanic, Latin American, Black, or African American backgrounds alone comprised 31% of the U.S. population in the same year. So there's some difference there between demographic representation in these arts and what they are population-wide. But, I really found myself, I've been watching a lot of basketball lately. I believe that March Madness, the NCAA basketball tournament, is the greatest sporting event every single year. Some of these games have not disappointed. I didn't see a whole lot this weekend, but I guess it was the Friday night's game where St. Peter's, little school, they got 2,100 students at St. Pete's, and they beat Purdue. They were beaten roundly by UNC the next game, but it was exciting to see them march on. It was a fantastic game, and then there was the North Carolina UCLA game was also a fantastic game. But I don't watch a whole lot of pro basketball, but it did get me thinking when I was looking at this hashtag OscarsSoWhite that this is still going on. I certainly don't see the proper representation by race according to overall demographic when it comes to some of these sports teams, and I don't have a problem with that. There's not much that's more merit-based than a college or a professional basketball team, every coach wanting to field its best crop of players to put on to give them the best chance to win, and I'm absolutely 100% fine with that. But I actually looked, just because I thought it was interesting, that Hollywood has got this big push that everything needs to be representative of the demographics of society at large, right? If you've got 31% of the U.S. population is either black or Latino, then that has got to be the line with the Oscars and any of these award shows. You need to have at least 31% of these people need to be recognized. And that's very interesting because I looked up the top 25 highest paid NBA players. So the top 25 highest NBA players, there were only two crackers in the whole box. Two white guys out of the 25 highest paid NBA players, and neither one of them were American. They were both either Eastern Bloc or Eastern European players. There was not one homegrown white boy in the whole top 25. That leads to about 8% of the top-ranking NBA players, top-paid NBA players, are white. 8% when the U.S. white population is, I believe, over 50-something percent. Where is the outrage about something like that? And the thing that's interesting is I don't hear any white people complaining about that at all. We don't care. We understand that sports is merit-based. And so when we're talking about entertainment versus entertainment, which is Hollywood versus sports, I don't really understand what the problem is. It's just an interesting thing to think about. Should we begin to believe, should it be NBA, hashtag NBA so black? You think that would be well received? I don't think so, and it probably won't start because most people really don't give a crap. White people are not out there fighting to get equal demographic representation in any of these things. Same thing with football, but Hollywood's not done. Check this out. Hollywood's doing something called Aperture 2025. Starting in 2024, producers will be required to submit a summation of the race, gender, sexual orientation, and disability status of members of their movie's cast and crew. If a particular movie does not have enough people of color or disabled people or gays or lesbians working on the set, and what is enough will be determined by a knotty tangle of Byzantine formularities, then that movie will no longer be eligible for an Oscar. They will have to submit a summation of the race, gender, sexual orientation, and disability status of members of their movie's cast and crew. And if it is not up to snuff, then that movie will not be eligible for an Oscar. Holy cow. No wonder the Oscars is gone. I think it's the last couple of decades. They said it's gone down from 55 million people to around 9 million people. And I would imagine that number will continue to shrink. And I can't think of anything more racist, anything more sexist, anything more bigoted than saying you just simply have to hire numbers. Doesn't matter. Obviously, these people cannot succeed merit-based. They're not earning their positions. They need to be put in just as numbers so that you can get some kind of a Hollywood score. It's just unbelievable. We're going to start off looking at the propaganda war that's going on. This was an interview. I think it was Anderson Cooper was talking to Sean Penn about the Oscars. I don't know if this took place last night. I haven't seen any news. The Chris Rock, Will Smith slap was the big thing. So I'm not sure if this took place or not, but listen to this odd question by Anderson Cooper.
And as you know, Sean, the Oscars are tomorrow night.
I'm sorry, this is Jim Acosta, not Anderson Cooper.
Do you want to see President Zelensky speak at the Oscars via some sort of video link? And how do you think the ceremony, how the event should recognize what is happening in Ukraine? What would you say, I guess, if you were there up on stage?
I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, there are those, and I think it sometimes has validity, who would say that, you know, politics are for another place, entertainment is for another. I believe that anyone, as an audience or a practitioner of film, that understands what that expression is, that to restrict it to just film is to say it can't be on television, it can't be on the stage. To restrict it to any of those is to say it can't be embodied within a human being, that kind of nature of poetic courage and expression that film aspires at its best to be.
Oh, yawn. I can't even play the rest of that clip. That's Sean Penn. The bottom line is this is a propaganda war going on. So Jim Acosta from CNN wants to know, should Zelensky speak at the Oscars? if that's not bad enough, I'm telling you, this show is going to be all about the propaganda push, the PR battle over Ukraine. And it's really quite amazing of what this PR and what this advertising and what this propaganda is designed to do. And I'll talk more about that later. This is ABC has put together something with Hulu. I had paused my Hulu membership for a period of time. I was just didn't care about it, wasn't watching it, so I paused it, I guess. They've got a tricky little thing in there. Instead of canceling, you pause. Very sneaky, very sneaky. They got me this time. But apparently I forgot about it. My pause thing undid. I guess I got to the end of my pause just a couple of days ago, and suddenly they tagged my account for the $13, $14, whatever it is for Hulu. I could not be more upset about it after hearing this, like the day after.
He thought he was God.
He's now one of the most vilified men in the world. He is the everyman. Zelensky is the Tom Hanks of Ukraine.
Oh. The fact that a little nice Jewish boy is 5'7", is showing up this KGB agent in the Kremlin.
What do you say to Americans who see Russia and you not only as a rival, but an unfriendly adversary?
Two men at war.
Which Vladimir will take over. The world is not going to be the same.
There it is. Zelensky versus Putin, and Zelensky is the Tom Hanks. He's the Tom Hanks of world politics. Holy cow. It's the propaganda's off the charts. I got a ton of examples for it. We'll get to them in just a little bit. Stay with me.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run.
I have got so much stuff today, I am struggling to try to put it in the right order to really kind of flesh this. You know, when I do these kind of long format, single theme shows, which are fairly regular, I try to put it in some kind of a flow where it explains, you know, I kind of want to set up with all of the propaganda that is going on around the Ukraine situation. It is the battle for minds, and this is a scientific one by the people fighting it. And so I'm trying to figure out exactly how to place all this stuff within the confines of time, but I guess there's no better or worse, depending on how you think about it, place to start than Joe Biden went overseas. This man is a danger to the United States when he is here. He's a danger to the world when he is outside of our borders. I don't know how many of you saw any of these excerpts of Joe Biden's speech. He went full on get off my lawn, but with a shotgun in his hand. Completely unhinged. And what's so funny is, and I know a lot of people probably recognize this, Joe Biden is exactly what everybody told you Donald Trump was going to be. They told you Donald Trump with his finger on the button. How terrifying is that? That's what they told you for 4 years. Donald Trump said, in my opinion, when it came to foreign affairs and foreign policy stuff, he said some rather obnoxious stuff, but he never made me afraid. Joe Biden makes me very, very scared, not even just for people around the world, but for us here at home. Joe Biden, his actions and his rhetoric have got real consequences for us, for our dollar, possibly for our country itself, within the borders of our country. This guy is so out of control. This was the thing that made the news this past weekend.
Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia, for free people refused to live in a world of hopelessness and darkness. We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
And that was his thing. That they had to walk that back. This man cannot remain in power. Now, he is reading from teleprompters. They're saying his, what do they call it, improvised or off-script remarks. I really don't know, but if you look at Joe Biden, his brain does not come up with a lot of off-script during a speech like this. He's moving his head from side to side, looking from teleprompter to teleprompter. But this was widely seen, particularly in Russia, strangely. as a call for regime change in Russia. And I do believe that that is what their ultimate goal is. It's never happened with a nuclear power before that the United States thinks that they can exercise this level of authority over people. But it seems to be that's the idea. So Joe Biden essentially suggesting regime change of the world's second largest nuclear power. This is on the heels, of course, and this is why I don't play the two-party game of Lindsey Graham calling for the assassination repeatedly, at least three times, of Vladimir Putin. This is a little bit longer report on Biden's speech over there.
In a major speech in Poland today, President Biden, wrapping up his trip to Europe, framed the war in Ukraine as a critical contest between autocratic regimes and all democratic nations.
See, this is the trick they use in all of these wars. It's one good guy versus one bad guy. They'll tell you who the good guy is, or you can figure it out. I mean, they've been working for 10 years, 15 years to demonize Vladimir Putin. So you were already primed. But now, of course, his aggression into Ukraine, Russia is the bad guy and Ukraine is the good guy. More about that. I've got a clip from somebody who appeared on Ukrainian television. Wait till you hear what they said. But this is the idea. There's one good guy, one bad guy. It's very, very easy for people. It's simple. It's just the truth is never actually that way.
And Pierce Tamara Keith reports Biden also vowed that Russian President Vladimir Putin will not succeed in its efforts to dominate Ukraine.
President Biden said the democracies of the world need to steel themselves for a lengthy battle for the rule of law and freedom, putting Russia's war on Ukraine in a broader context of maintaining the global order established after World War II.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
A White House official later clarified that Biden was not calling for regime change, but saying Putin shouldn't be allowed to exercise power over his neighbors in the region. Earlier in the day, after meeting with Ukrainian refugees and hearing their harrowing experiences, Biden called Putin a butcher. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Warsaw, Poland.
That is the war criminal Joe Biden calling Vladimir Putin a butcher. When I come back, I'll go ahead and take a break. Like I say, I'm trying to segment these things. This was completely unhinged. Everything they warned you that Donald Trump was, Joe Biden actually is. And somebody put together a very good medley of listening to this whack job run by other psychopaths and his speech to the world when he was in Poland just the last couple of days ago. I mean, it's scary. I want it to be funny because he's such a pathetic human being. Joe Biden is just, he's the empty shell of a, he's a corrupt empty shell of a formerly coherent corrupted parasite. I don't know if that makes sense. He's the worst of the worst. It's bad enough when you're corrupt and a war criminal. It's even worse when you're just the shell of one that can't even think straight anymore. But his style in this speech was Mussolini-esque, I guess I might say. I'll come back. We'll get a compilage of it. And then there's a couple of kind of funny flubs in there that really make him look like the idiot that he is. We'll get to all of them when I come back.
Your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and I'm your kind of an incoherent talk show host right now. I don't think it's really particularly good form when you're somebody who has a talk show has trouble putting thoughts together. It's just there. Time and time again, I just don't even know what I'm looking at and how it's acceptable in any way that there's any pockets of this country that can look at what's going on, particularly with this Ukraine situation, and I think this is in any way acceptable. And the reason that they do is really the topic for this show, and I'm going to show you the propaganda efforts to sell Americans and people around the world of this one good guy versus one bad guy narrative around Ukraine, which is just quite simply not true. I saw an article, I didn't clip it, I didn't reference it, but it was talking about the huge increase in natural gas supplies going to Europe from the United States now that all these sanctions have been levied. I mean, there's people already just making bank. We got the defense contractors just can't keep up with Stingers and manpad production. And we've got the oil companies that are just raking in dollars and filling the gap after we cut Russia off from providing energy to Europe. It's that stuff is should be easy to see, but it's not. It's, again, it's one good guy versus one bad guy. But I'm looking at Joe Biden's speech over there, and I mean, we know our media is bad. We know our media is really, really bad. But any thinking person should be very alarmed at what you saw with these speeches that Joe Biden gave over in Poland when he was overseas. Now, when he does his typical gaffes, it's funny. It's easy to ridicule Joe Biden. It's terrifying he's in charge. It's kind of like a cute monkey breaking into your house. It's all fun when it's jumping around and sitting and eating a walnut or eating a banana. It's not so funny when the monkey picks up a gun and starts jumping around the house. You don't know when this thing's going to go off or which direction it's going to shoot in. That is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is overseas. He's like a monkey with a gun in his hand. Here's a compilage of what came out of this stumbling idiot's, this dangerous, demented monkey's mouth when he was overseas.
These principles are essential. Today's fighting key.
This is just a compilation. These are all put together. I mean, so it's nonsensical. It's just pointing out all of the gaffes and marble mouth stuff and where he loses his track of mind. Individually, if this was not a serious situation, this would be laughable. But it is not. This is a man who has got us on the cusp of World War III here.
These principles are essential. Today's fighting Kyiv and Metropol and Kharkiv are the latest battle in a long struggle to thwart the designs of autocracy. Putin has the gall to say he's denazifying Ukraine. It's a lie. I met with him in person, talked to him many times on the phone, using brute force and disinformation, swift and punishing cost. The economy is on track to be cut in half before this invasion. And it is Putin, it is Vladimir Putin who is to blame, period. America forces are in Europe, not in Europe. Don't even think about moving on.
What is this style? What is this yelling style of his? This is get off my lawn times 10 on the world stage. Agitating another nuclear power.
On one single inch of NATO territory. I visited your national stadium where they gripped my hand. Little kids hung onto my leg.
Creepy.
Say to the mayor and the premier, they're opening their hearts and their homes, but not Metropole. Mariupol. The purpose and unity found in months, blocking the image of civilian targets, mass graves, starvation tactics, a remarkable brain drain, maternity wards, and for God's sake, being pummeled with Russian missiles and bombs. You were a 21st century nation. This is not the future you deserve for your families. That's why just yesterday in Brussels, I announced the plan. Because the darkness that drives autocracy for the pan-European picnic for the brave Ukrainian people never become discouraged. For free people refused, for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
Amen. This man should not remain in power. Half the time, he sounds drunk. He sounds like an angry drunk. And I wish that was the case, because if you are drunk, presumably at some time you sober up and regain your faculties. This man will not do that. He is just an unhinged monkey with a loaded gun jumping around the planet at this point. This was particularly almost laughable in its projection. Think about exactly what, in particular, the Democrats, the blue state, and the Joe Bidens of the world, what they put us through for 2 years, and then what he's professing is his love for a free society.
For an essential democratic principles that unite all free people, the rule of law, fair and free elections, the freedom to speak, to write and to assemble, the freedom to worship as one chooses, freedom of the press. These principles are essential in a free society.
Yeah. Didn't he just list off all of the rights that the in particular the Democrats and Joe Bidens of the world took away from people in Western countries? across Western countries, the government of Australia, the government of Germany, the governments of Canada, of the United Kingdom, and of the United States, particularly in the blue states of the United States. All of those freedoms he listed that are so sacred that we should start World War III to defend them in Ukraine are all of the same, the right to worship as you want. Can you get a religious exemption from the vaccine? No. Can you attend your church during lockdowns? No. He went on some little bender about the brain drain from Russia, that Russians are leaving Russia in huge numbers. And I'm going to use this one just because this was one of his funnier gaffes.
200,000 people have allegedly already left. There's a brain drain leaving Russia, shutting down independent news.
Yeah, shutting down independent news. What has the United States been doing for the past 2 years? Shutting down independent news. He got through there. He did say brain drain there. He got through it once. Could he get through it twice?
Is any wonder, as I said, that 200,000 Russians have all left their country in 1 month? A remarkable brain drain.
Oh, so close. Bane Dane. Oh, he just couldn't get it through the second one. There was a couple other things that were also more concerning about where this thing is headed. And again, Joe Biden knows. People running Joe Biden know. Vladimir Putin knows. Zelensky in Ukraine knows. The leader, that Stoltenberg psychopath that's running NATO, he knows. Every single person knows. Sean Hannity knows. Marco Rubio knows, Lindsey Graham knows, Nancy Pelosi knows, Hillary Clinton knows. They all know that the Ukraine situation could be solved in an afternoon with one piece of paper that says Ukraine will not join NATO. The Donbass regions and the Crimea area will be, for Donbass, will be recognized as an independent area. They will stop being bombed by the Ukrainians. And that the Crimean area will be, the Crimean Peninsula will be a part of Russia now. It's done in an afternoon. And these things have already actually happened. The Donbass area is now protected by Russia, and the Crimean Peninsula has been with Russia since 2015. This has already happened. All they have to do is acknowledge it and say, we won't become a part of NATO. Ukraine just signs a piece of paper, says we're not going to be any part of NATO. We're not going to be stationing NATO troops right on the border of Ukraine with Russia. It could be finished in an afternoon. They all know this. But this is what Joe Biden had to say. He was speaking to some of the troops when he was over there. Hold on a second. I had already queued this up. I forgot that I had. Yep, I thought I had. I'll tell you what. We have to pull this off. Sorry, I usually do a very good job of getting my clips all queued up and ready to go.
Look at how they're stepping up. And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there.
Wait, what? He's talking about Ukraine. He is looking at American troops that are sitting there listening to this demented monkey with a weapon. And he says, you'll see. You'll see when you get there to Ukraine.
The country of the world based on the idea. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all women and men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Sounds corny.
No, Lord, I can't take it. I cannot take it. He tells American troops, you'll see when you get there, talking about Ukraine. And there was also this little nugget that was in there I haven't seen covered anywhere in the press. He makes a statement. We've heard some numbers. Heard some numbers about 8,000 new troops going to Poland to participate in NATO exercises, those kinds of things. We've not heard numbers like what he's about to say here.
Less of a NATO presence on his border, but now he has a stronger presence, a larger presence, with over 100,000 American troops here, along with all the other members of NATO.
Wait, what? Joe Biden, it's going to make me choke up a little bit to say it, the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military just said there are 100,000 U.S. troops on the border with Russia right now. Now, we've typically had, I believe, around 30,000, 35,000 troops in Germany. Some of those have been moved around a little bit, but Germany doesn't border Russia. Joe Biden just said there are 100,000 of our brothers and sisters, moms and dads, sons and daughters that are actually on the border, the NATO border of Ukraine, or excuse me, of Russia. 100,000 troops. And not a single peep in the media that I saw. And I tried to watch some things after this speech. I was looking for anybody who deconstructed this speech the same way that I did, that it just came off as completely unhinged and just maniacal. I didn't find it anywhere, and I certainly didn't find anybody questioning, wait, what? We've got 100,000 U.S. troops on the border with Russia right now? That should be concerning. And it brings back my Bill Burr clip. Quote. Actually, I have two of them, two quotes that I've quoted before. One is, I did these, I think, last week. Peter Joseph said, "The true terrorists of our world do not meet at the docks at midnight or scream Allah Akbar before some violent action. The true terrorists of our world wear $5,000 suits and work in the highest positions of finance, government, and business." And it is finance, government, and business that is running the show when it comes to Ukraine. And if there are 100,000 U.S. troops stationed on the border with Russia right now, then I hope that they would listen to Bill Burr, who said everybody should just quit the military around the world and that's it. It's done. We're not doing this anymore. You lunatics, go sit down and solve your problems another way. There is no world where you should watch somebody of any nationality have to say goodbye to their kids because two rich people are having a temper tantrum with each other and have decided to have a war. Bill Burr is exactly right. If there's 100,000 U.S. troops on the border with Russia, they should all quit immediately. I'll be right back. We're going to look at propaganda next hour, but I guess I'll go ahead and do one of my favorite hit pieces. Tulsi Gabbard was on Sean Hannity's show. I want you to listen to Sean Hannity. This is part of the propaganda war, going back to what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, what these major corporations, they own all of these news outlets, MSNBC, CNN. You see, they're all cheering for war, save Tucker Carlson. He seems to be about the only one that will actually call out the insanity that's going on. But I pick on Sean Hannity because he's got so many conservatives fooled because he tied himself. He jumped on Trump's coattails. Again, this is after he tried to sell you John McCain in 2008, tried to sell you Mitt Romney in 2012. Well, he finally found a winner and he jumped on it because Trump was so popular. And I want you to just listen to the words of Sean Hannity and think about what his philosophy.
So I am a supporter, Tulsi, of the Reagan Doctrine and the Trump Doctrine. Reagan Doctrine is providing Stinger missiles to the Mujahideen when the Soviets invaded in the 80s. They were successful. They pushed the Soviets out. Supporting the Nicaraguan freedom-fighting Contras over the Sandinistas and Daniel Ortega. I'm also a supporter of the Trump Doctrine.
Now, here it is. And if this is the Trump Doctrine, I got to tell you, this is one of the reasons I will continue to criticize Donald Trump. And remember that Sean Hannity was a daily advisor to Donald Trump.
Just bomb the living hell out of people. Don't put an American boot on the ground. Maybe some intel boots there, but that's about it. And with pinpoint accuracy, push buttons from all over the United States, and we'll hit any target we want, and we'll blow.
The idea that we use pinpoint accuracy, never a civilian casualty, never any collateral damage. Sean Hannity tells you, we just from over here, in the United States, we just push a bunch of buttons and a bunch of people die. The people that we decide need to die start dying. Sean Hannity says, I'm of the Trump doctrine. You just bomb the hell out of people.
Oh, the caliphate out of existence. Trump did it. Soleimani off of tarmac, al-Baghdadi and associates, and the al-Qaeda leader in Yemen. It sounds to me like you don't believe in that. We're not putting one American boot on the ground. And my argument would be, If Putin is successful here, God only knows where his territorial ambitions will take him next.
Yeah, this is such an incredible thing to watch one of these heroes of the right. One of these heroes of the right. Putin is trying to reconstitute the old Soviet Union. Sean Hannity has ignored Vladimir Putin for 10 years, saying, No NATO for Ukraine. And I'm going to tell you the truth about Ukraine next hour. Boy, there was a stunning guy on Ukrainian television, one of the most watched news channels in Ukrainian television. I'll have to translate. But some pretty amazing stuff. But Sean Hannity, a purveyor of this propaganda where there's a good guy and a bad guy. Vladimir Putin's the bad guy. Zelensky and Ukraine are the good guys. And Sean Hannity wants to just push a bunch of buttons and just bomb the crap out of people. That's what he wants to, do. This is a hero of the right. This is why I left the right. This is why I left so-called conservatism. I don't believe Sean Hannity is in any way, shape, or form any semblance of founding fathers conservatism, because they warned about exactly what he's saying and about people like Sean Hannity. More on the propaganda.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me. About to break down. I'm going to take a look at what is really going on. Look, this is a public relations advertising war going on right now. Well, it's mostly public relations. They're not really trying to sell you anything except reduced quality of life, shared sacrifice, austerity for the American people to take on this evil Vladimir Putin. But this is a giant PR battle that's going on. And I've got some pretty stunning quotes and some stuff out of Ukraine that should be very concerning to anybody who has changed their Facebook banner to a yellow and blue filter. Is that what it is? I don't do social media. I think those are filters that come on. Anyway, it's an amazing thing to watch. These things are not covered in mainstream media here, so I've got 2 hours a day. I'm going to bring some of these things to you. But today, we've got quite a little treat today. We've got our own Josh West to stop by the studio, The Voice, as some people call him. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Happy to have you, or happy for me to be here and jump in as a normie.
Well, you know, you and I talk a lot about stuff, and I think, you know, I need somebody in the studio because I don't know really what I'm seeing. I'm trying to decipher what I'm seeing. I mean, I am looking at Joe Biden go overseas and give the most unhinged speech I've ever seen with a bizarre speaking style where he's screaming at people. And even his inflection of his voice on certain words makes no sense. He's incredibly dangerous to the world right now.
He is, and he is being largely ignored by every single person in the world.
Yes.
I think the conversations that we have, and if you try to talk to people, you know, I talk to you about it. I've got a couple of other buddies I talk to about it, but we're seeing what's going on. We're hearing these quotes. We're hearing them, and we're concerned. So you've got this show. I listen to a couple of other podcasts. You're getting these little slivers of people that are really locked into what is going on. Everybody else is barbecuing. They are going to their kids' softball games and baseball games and volleyball games. They are either have already had a vacation or are planning a vacation.
Yeah, they're living their lives.
They're just living their lives.
Yeah.
And they are really not paying attention whatsoever, other than they think Ukraine is this innocent country who has just been invaded by evil Russia, and they're kind of bought into what's going on to that narrative on a very loose degree, but we're so far removed from it. And even here in Mississippi, we're even so far removed with what's going on the southern border that they don't even, I mean, it's not even on their radar.
Yeah.
It's not even on their radar. So your average person, I just wonder when it's going to go from 0 to 100. That's what I'm wondering, because, you know, when you are locked into the right places, the things that are happening now we knew were coming. The things that they're saying that are going to come in 3 months, 6 months are going to come. When is it going to start registering on people's radars? Because right now, even the gas prices here in Mississippi, gas has come down 35 cents.
You know,
it's $3.66 in McGee.
Oh, hey.
Hey, you know. So even that is people are just adjusting a little bit, that little part of their lifestyle, and they don't really know who to blame for it, but they don't like it. But what is going to really just explode this thing? And what I mean by that is, what's going to just shut people down to where we're back into kind of self-lockdown mode? Okay, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I'm not buying anything.
Yeah.
I'm coming home. Or what is going to, like, it's all anybody's talking about everywhere, all day, every day. What is going to make it go from this to that?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. I watch and listen to a lot of people on the left that I respect for their truthiness. I may disagree with them on some economic stuff. I talk a lot about Jimmy Dore. He's a very progressive. He was a Bernie bro. Now he realizes Bernie Sanders is a sellout, you know, corporate pig. He was a big supporter of the Squad and AOC, and now he realizes they're phonies too. And it's interesting to watch a leftist wake up, and he took the shot and had a bad reaction to it, and now he got called an anti-vaxxer right after he took the shot. So it's interesting to watch people on the left wake up. Thank God for Tucker Carlson on the right, bringing in some little sliver of counter to the Sean Hannitys of the world and the some of the other mainstream warmongers out there. It's interesting to watch people wake up, but this is a PR battle, and that's what I want to talk about this hour. We are being barraged by messaging about this Ukraine situation that is not true. And I can't remember who it was I played last week, and they said, no, it was Dave Smith. He's a libertarian comedian. And all these people that are, you know, they had the, what was the first, Black Lives Matter. Everybody changed their things to Black Lives Matter. Let me tell you that this is what I find amazing about the situation we're in right now, or what I've been watching. We have got a situation where people who were rightfully outraged about some instances of police brutality, and I'm not always popular with the right because I'm not just a blanket supporter of police all the time. I think police have done a bad job of getting the bad guys out of the department, which makes it harder for the good guys in the department. But anyway, we had people who were rightfully outraged about police brutality actually start virtue signaling for Black Lives Matter, an openly communist organization that said out loud, we're for the destruction of the nuclear family. And people got sucked into that through just PR. We saw COVID, a 99.9% survivable disease, and people get sucked into this. If you let your child hug your mom, they're going to kill their nana. We watched that. And now we're watching the American people and people around the world be brought into a situation where they are openly supporting literal Nazis. I mean, this is just absolutely bizarre how people can be brought so quickly to support something so disastrous and so evil, and people will do it willingly. And it preys upon, the worst thing to me is it preys upon actually the goodness of people. If people see police brutality, they want to stand up because they think that that's wrong and that's to be admired, but they're taken to the exact wrong organization with Black Lives Matter. If people want to see people not get sick and die, that's admirable to want to be, you know, want to see the best for people and people not get sick, but they're taken to the exact wrong tactic, which is just complete suppression of the truth and this lockdowns and just everything they did around COVID. And now we've got this where you feel for, everybody should feel for the people of Ukraine, but they refuse to acknowledge any history. And now they are openly supporting, and I'll prove it in just a second here. They're openly supporting real Nazis. And it almost feels like maybe it's a game to the elites where they go, I bet you we can get these people to start supporting a communist organization like Black Lives Matter. And the other guy goes, no, you're not going to get a bunch of Americans to support communists and destruction of the family. I bet I can. And they did it. And then they say, I tell you what, this little disease here that's really only dangerous to people about 82 years old and over or whatever, I bet you I can scare everybody with it. I bet you I can make parents worried that their little kids who are immune from this disease, I bet I can freak them out too and get them to make their kids wear a mask for 2 years. No, you can't. Yeah, I can. Watch this. And now they're going, all right, we're going for the trifecta. I'm going to get liberal Americans to support actual Nazis. And somebody said, oh, there's just no way you're going to get it. They've done it. They have done it now, and Americans are supporting a Nazi regime. It is the most bizarre thing I have ever seen. And I'll play a clip about it in a second.
Well, and You lay out all of those scenarios, and you lay out all of these things that we're seeing. And then I even think about, we talked about, you mentioned Black Lives Matter, the pandemic. We didn't even mention the pullout of Afghanistan. Just the distrust, the promises that were made. I was listening to a podcast just on the way up here today, Mike, and, you know, just the promises that we made pulling out of Vietnam.
Yeah.
And people that were that their families were the ones that were pulled out of there, and then the horror that those people were looking on to the pull out of Afghanistan because they knew how many promises were made and were left unkept.
We're not honest about that.
There were
stuff.
Promises that were made to Ukraine.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, wait a minute, who did I make a deal with?
Oh, they're cannon fodder.
Well, and it's we're realizing that deals are being made with the devil, but who's the devil?
Well,
you know, and
there's plenty
and,
of them.
Well, there are, and they're everywhere, and it's not as good and evil. It is bad versus bad.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Bad guys, and all these innocent people by the millions are caught up in these power struggles, in these huge, huge power struggles for a new world order that they're coming out and talking about, the new world order, the digital currencies. It's about control. It's about money. It's about power. It's about the age-old things.
Well, in every one of these instances, too, it preys upon this need for people to have a good guy and a bad guy. So in Black Lives Matter, it wasn't enough to say there are some bad cops out there doing some bad things. We need to get rid of those people and start cleaning up some of these places. Because I agree with that. I think we're over policed. Anyway, I won't get into that. But instead of just saying that, it was all black people are all angels and every cop is a demon. And so you need to defund the police. We need to get rid of the police. When you looked at coronavirus, it was the good guy versus the bad guy. Anthony Fauci is the angel. And anybody who disagrees with Anthony Fauci and points out masks or problems with vaccine, that's the bad guy. They need to be canceled. They need to be censored. They need to do this. And now it is Vladimir Putin is the bad guy and Ukraine is the good. Everybody just jumps on this, you know, who is the good guy? Who is the bad guy scenario here? I got to take a break, but when I come back, I'll play a clip. Tucker Carlson is the only person on mainstream media that I can tell that has got a large audience. There's plenty of people out there saying these things, but he's the only one that's got a large audience that is pointing out a lot of really inconvenient. I hate Al Gore took this thing, Inconvenient Truth. You know, he did his global warming thing. It's such a great thing. It is these inconvenient truths. I've got a list of them today from Ukraine that just do not support this idea that this was just some bastion of freedom and democracy that just came under it. They were just minding their own business and came under attack. Oh my gosh. It's, you know, it's like picking on a kid on the school ground. You know, it is just not that way. And so I'm going to look at that. And then also some of the Washington Now, our mainstream media is infested with PR agents, foreign registered lobbyists. Do you know who the biggest lobbyist in 2021 was to Washington, D.C.?
There's no telling.
Ukraine. It was Ukraine foreign lobbyist leading up through 2021. Is it any coincidence that in 2022 this stuff gets kicked off? So, you know, this has been a plan for a while, and it's hard to watch Americans fall for another one of these things. I'll play this Tucker Carlson clip, and then I've got a clip from a guy that goes on Ukrainian television. I think it's either one of the highest or it's one of the most watched networks in Ukraine. It's called Hromadsky TV. I may be butchering that word, Hromadsky TV. I want you to listen to an interview. I got to translate it, but listen to some of the things that are actually said on Ukrainian television prior to this invasion. It might actually cast Vladimir Putin's intentions in a different light. So anyway, we got Josh West in the studio with us taking a look at the insane world we're living in. I think it's a good thing to have somebody in here to temper me today because I really am kind of, I'm off the hook. I don't really know what to make of anything.
I agree. Who do you trust? You don't want to trust anyone.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
All right, something interesting is happening right now that I am interested in and actually encouraged by. Tucker Carlson is the largest, highest rated, most watched conservative voice on media. I don't know if there's a conservative radio show host that does better than him, but as far as mainstream media, Tucker Carlson is number one, no doubt about it. And he's bucking this trend when it comes to kind of across the board. He did on COVID. And he doesn't do it. He's smart. He doesn't do it real aggressively, but he does it more. He asks questions that he knows the answers to are not going to be good, not going to be convenient to the people pushing these things. What's interesting to me to see is that Republicans that I know, conservative people that I know, are not on board with this war talk, but that is not stopping the Roger Wickers, the Tom Cottons, the Marco Rubios, the Lindsey Grahams, the Sean Hannitys. They are all foaming at their mouth for taking out Vladimir Putin and starting a war. Republicans that I talk to, Republicans that I see, even comments on conservative sites like Gateway Pundit, places like that, most conservative people do not seem to have an appetite for this war. What do you think?
I agree. I think that people look at it again. Now, let's go back to the whole people living life. People have been kept from living life for the last 2 years. I felt like that once everything opened back up, and I was looking at it more from a spiritual perspective of, you know, hey, if you're not kind of getting your spiritual house in order over this 2 years, if you can't kind of see these things going from that perspective as a person of faith, when the world opens back up and you get to dive back into what more of the world that you wanted to, you were going to be in it double dose. So let's just look at it from just a secular perspective. People are just, they want to live life. They've been kept from living life for 2 years. So I think it's very convenient, the timeline of it. Things are finally opening back up. Let's go to war while everybody's finally getting to go back to spring training. People are finally getting to see an NCAA tournament normally, finally get entertainment, whatever. Movie theaters are open back up. Everything in America is keeping the American people distracted. But I agree. I don't think there's an appetite for it. And where I'm at, though, is I'm on another level. So we're kind of paying attention to what's going. I'm at the level of already of how can I get my representative out without feeling like your people, you know, the thing is, oh, you're throwing away your vote. If you don't vote Republican, you're throwing away your vote type thing. And
yeah,
I mean, it's I see all these members. I see everybody there now on the same team. And so how do I completely turn over the roster?
Yeah.
How do I cut everybody loose?
Well, I just wonder if that's going to happen, because if Republicans have no appetite for this war, yet all of the mainstream Republicans are calling for this war, where is that separation going to be? I mean, we're at a point, too, where you got big midterms coming in. You think Republicans will make a clean sweep, but I think they are leaving the average conservative voter who knows this is a bunch of bunk behind. Let's play this Tucker Carlson clip. As I said, there's a lot of inconvenient truths about Ukraine that are being out there, and I don't like to play a ton of Tucker Carlson. Number one, it's people can watch the Tucker Carlson show if they want to see it. But I think it's important to see the guests that he brings on and what he is saying on Fox News. I think it's putting a dent. Look, Republicans and conservatives have been the worst on war for 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 years. The worst. Myself included in the 1990s, I was a Kool-Aid drinking, neocon, warmongering Republican piece of human filth. I'm ashamed of myself, but that has gone on even through the Trump presidency. Republicans have been really bad. And then Trump started making them say, maybe we don't need to fight all these wars. They gave people a little bit of cover to say, yeah, maybe these wars aren't great, but Republicans have been terrible on war. Sean Hannity is still bad. Lindsey Graham still bad. Marco Rubio still bad. Tom Cotton still bad. Roger Wicker still horrific on these wars. Tucker Carlson is this voice that kind of challenges that. And he has this guest on. I don't have his name. What's his name? Yeah, we'll look at it. I'll see if I can see it on this clip. But this is what was said the other night about Ukraine.
For the war, Axios, The Guardian, The Atlantic Council, all of them were reporting that Zelensky, even though he ran on an anti-corruption ticket, has, through the Panama Papers and other such leaks, has stashed his millions offshore like most corrupt oligarchs have. And so even before the war, his corruption was known. And then you fast forward to what he's done over this weekend with the banning of 11 opposition parties. And I want to note at this stage that he banned these opposition parties, including, as you mentioned, Tucker, the second largest in his parliament, while the Nazi elements, and I use the word Nazi, not neo-Nazi, because these are actual Nazis that aren't neo in any sense. They're the continuation of Nazis as we know them and study them in history. And Bandera, the man that they revere, was actually a Nazi, and they've made him into a national hero, an icon. The Nazis in Ukraine have not been banned by Zelensky. And so this is a very interesting point, that you've got a man that's that we're hailing as a democratic icon who's fighting for freedom and democracy in our way of life, banning all opposition parties, controlling the, through the state, the media narrative, while refusing not only to ban Nazis, but having, after not banning them, incorporated them into his state. Azov as a battalion formally serves in the Ukrainian National Guard. Now, people say to that in response, yeah, but Majid, there are racists in every country. No, the analogy here is, imagine, Tucker, in America, the KKK had a formal battalion in the US military. That's what we've got with swastikas and Nazi insignia inside the Ukrainian army. And then people would say, well, what do you want to do? It's, they invaded, Putin invaded their country. Of course, they have to fight. And I find this line of argument absolutely absurd, because the best analogy is with Syria. Now, Putin allying with Nazis in Ukraine to defeat Putin is as absurd as allying with ISIS in Syria to defeat Putin. You've got an extremist, an armed extreme terrorist militia known as ISIS. None of us ever had any moral difficulty in understanding that Assad was a dictator, that Putin's support for Assad was wrong, but the people opposing him, the jihadists, were also.
So this is what is insane to me. This is actual history. We are off the cusp of Syria, where the United States funded, trained, and paid radical jihadists to topple the government of Syria that had done nothing to us whatsoever. And the United States and John McCain over there with his arm around the leader of ISIS, we were funding radical jihadists in Syria to topple that government. Now we are funding, training, and sending weapons to a Nazi government in Ukraine. What has happened to this world? And the left in particular, there's a lot of people on the right that are still buying this garbage too. They didn't understand the Syria situation because we're historically, truthfully illiterate in this country largely, but the left is supporting that. For 4 years, they called Donald Trump a Nazi, a Hitler. Now they are literally supporting literal Nazis. And, I, you know, I'm very judicious in my word. I'm literal. So this in this case, it is, they are Nazis. I've got images I can't do on the radio. When I come back, we're going to talk about this PR machine that has opened up with all of the various players that are pushing this PR around Ukraine. In some of the posters for Ukraine that say support the Ukraine military, you know, there's these PRs, they've got the SS emblem on their shoulders of the soldiers they are telling us to support. How are they getting away with this?
It's convenience. It is whatever we want the narrative to be. Those images you talk about that are so buried deep of Lindsey Graham giving rah-rah speeches years ago.
Yeah, we're with
in
you.
Ukraine, right? The speeches that or the different inconvenient truth photos that are out there throughout the years of us with Saddam Hussein, or in this case with leaders of ISIS and so forth. We are for whatever is convenient to us, being America,
well,
being
not
the United
we,
States.
As
the United States, right?
It's their interest, and then they roll out the PR machine on us to get us to go along
with
it.
Correct. And so this, but boy, would it make me nervous as a leader. Don't make a deal with those people.
Yeah.
These are the people you don't want to make a deal with, and as we're headed to break, but to sum it all up, what we're seeing right now, this reshift of everything, this new world order that is trying to get built without the United States in it, is that people are tired of the crap that we've been doing for decades.
Yeah, well, we continue to do it. Along the lines of what you just said, James has sent me a text a little while ago. It said, why did Henry Kissinger once say, quote, "To be an enemy of the U.S. is dangerous, but to be a friend is fatal." That's what Ukraine is finding out right now. We set them up for the fall because they want this war. They want this cancellation of Russia. They want to replace all Russian oil and natural gas and all the different things that are the reasons to demonize Russia. These people and poor Ukrainians, they threw their lot in with the U.S. and the West. It's not just us, but it's led by us. And boy, those poor people are suffering for it.
Yeah, and you say we in air quotes, because just like these Nazis in Ukraine, the Ukrainian people are suffering. We, the American people, United States, we are about to suffer. We are at the cusp of the suffering. It is kicking off as we speak.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to show you some suffering. When we come back, I'm going to play this clip from Ukrainian television. I'll have to translate it, but you're not going to believe what somebody came on one of the most watched network shows on Ukraine came in and said about what needs to be done about the Russian areas of Ukraine. It is stunning stuff. And then you just pile on that this is what people in the United States are supporting, sending money to, sending bitcoins to, sending pillows and blankets. It's unbelievable stuff. We're talking to Josh West here about the Ukraine situation and the PR machine that is creating what people's belief about this conflict is. We'll be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We've got our own Josh West in the studio with us, and we're talking just about the Ukraine stuff, and I want to point out some of the PR, because it's just shocking to me to watch. I played earlier, Jim Acosta at CNN wants Zelensky to speak at the Oscars. He thinks that's important. Did you see the picture of Zelensky's address to Congress? Did you see an image of that? It was Zelensky on a big screen and Congress sitting out in the audience just in chairs on the floor.
I did see that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I did.
Did you see it juxtaposed to the Nike ad from 1984 with the George Orwell thing, the 1984 thing where it's a giant screen and people sitting there watching the giant propaganda screen?
No, I did not.
You need to see that. It looked exactly alike. This was a giant screen of Zelensky talking to these people and juxtaposed with that 1984 George Orwell, I guess it was Nike ad, where the girl comes in and she's got the big hammer and she spins around and throws it and cracks the screen. It's just amazing. If anybody hasn't seen that, go check it out. It's almost creepy and almost seems by design. It is so similar. So the theme of this show is propaganda. I'm going to play this. Okay, a little backstory here. This is from, and I'm going to butcher some of these names. Hromadske. How do you have a language with that many consonants in there? What are they doing over there in Ukraine? That's
the names.
Yeah. So I'm going to call it Hromadsky TV. Hromadsky TV Media.
I'll tell you
who they are. Thank you. I think that's probably dead on. Hromadsky TV Media, one of the most watched networks in Ukraine. Hromadsky's financial reports show it is funded by numerous governments and foundations, including the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Denmark, the Swedish International Development Cooperation Agency, the European Endowment for Democracy, and Free Press Unlimited. Silicon Valley billionaire Pierre Omidyar was also involved in creating this outlet. This Hromadsky Media, again, one of the most watched networks in Ukraine, partially funded by the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine. I want you to listen. I'm going to turn the audio down so it doesn't overpower my translation. This is somebody that came on. This is basically like somebody going on to Fox News and talking about Ukraine policy. His name is, here we go again, Bogdan Balkovich. So he's going to start off, and I'm going to have to start, and I don't know another way to do this translation without kind of starting and stopping this, but I want you to hear him speaking just because, I don't know, just to give some credibility. Okay, so he starts off with, okay, you ask me, quote, how can this be happening? Well, it happens because Donbass in general is not simply a region in a very depressed condition. It has a whole bunch of problems, biggest of which is... It is severely overpopulated with people nobody has any use for. Trust me, I know what I am saying. If we take, for example, just Donetsk Oblast, There are approximately 4 million inhabitants. At least 1.5 of them are superfluous. This is what this guy is saying.
Expendable.
Yeah, just there's just nothing. They're just, we don't need them.
They're taking up air.
Yes, they're just taking up air. This is on one of Ukraine's most watched television networks. We don't need to, quote, unquote, understand Donbass. We need to understand Ukrainian national interests. Donbass must be exploited as a resource, which it is. I don't claim to have a quick solution recipe. But the most important thing that must be done, no matter how cruel it may sound, get ready. There is a certain category of people that must be exterminated.
Where have we heard that before?
Yeah.
Where have we heard that before?
This is somebody going on national television in Ukraine. This didn't cause any controversy, any outrage. This is the Ukraine media that has looked at the people of the Donbass. These are ethnic Russians, the exact same way that Adolf Hitler looked at the Jews in Germany.
Exactly.
They need to be exterminated. They are they use a term Muscovite. I believe that is the derogatory xenophobic term for anybody with of Russian heritage. Do people understand that Ukraine outlawed the use of Russian in as a language in Ukraine? Even though for centuries and centuries, there has been kind of an interchange. The borders of Ukraine have been redrawn several times. Sometimes it's part of Russia. Sometimes it's part of Ukraine, just depending on what's going on. But a lot of ethnic Russians. And he says, you know, there's 4 million of them that should be exploited as a resource. But about 1.5 of them, 5 million of them are just superfluous and just need to be exterminated. And you wonder why Vladimir Putin felt the need to come in and declare those areas of Russian ethnic people as as a separatist area, and to protect the people of the Crimean Peninsula, who also see the people in the Crimea. They talk about Russia's invasion of Crimea in 2015. Essentially, what happened was in 2014, the United States, along with EU powers, but led by the United States, we took a government that was Ukrainian, that was friendly to Russia, it was corrupt as hell. But it wasn't trying to kill its own people. And we overthrew it and we installed Nazis in their government. And these Nazis, one of the first things they said is, ooh, all these people in Crimea, all these ethnic Russians in Crimea and Donbass area, we need to exterminate them. We are going to commit a genocide on those people to get rid of those Russians because they're Nazis. And the Nazis and the Russians have a long history of hatred. And so the people in Crimea and the Donbass region, They went to bed one day and they had a government that wasn't trying to kill them. And they woke up the next day after this coup and they went, oh, my God, our federal government here in Ukraine now believes we should be extinguished, that we should be murdered, that we should be bombed. And they have been bombing and killing the people in the Donbass region for 8 years. 14,000 of them have died. A lot more injuries, towns wrecked, people fleeing into Russia. We installed a Nazi government into Ukraine that has been trying to exterminate people. And this is what people in the United States are supporting.
Yeah. And unknowingly supporting that. If you try to go through all that history and tell average American that completely ignorant to what is going on because completely distracted with everything else that is going on in it. And so but with what the scenario you're laying out, of what exactly is going on. I don't back this idea that Putin is just completely virtuous and wanting to save those people. He needs those ports. He needs that area. There are a lot of strategic things that he needs there. We're seeing the same thing play out. America, because of what is in our best interests, the innocent Ukrainians and all of NATO for that matter, because it is a nuclear power in Russia, they are not taking a more aggressive stance to stop maybe
I'll say, you know, in the Donbass region, now you're right about Crimea. Those are ethnic Russians, but Russia didn't make any bones about it. That's our port. That Sebastopol is our port. It's our only warm water port we've got. We get iced in up here north. We need that port. And there's always been an arrangement that they use that port. It's good for trade, and it's also good militarily. They made no bones about that. The Donbass region, I think in 2015, voted just like the Crimeans did. They wanted to become a part of Russia. You know what Vladimir Putin said to that? Nyet. He said no. So this idea that Putin is just trying to conquer as much land as he can, like Sean Hannity says, he had the opportunity to have the whole Donbass region, that whole part of Ukraine, and he said no.
So are we saying that there's a group of people in the Donbass region that Putin also thinks are superfluous?
No, though, in the Donbass region, it is a very poor. They've got a lot of pension issues there. It's a lot of people for Russia to take on, and millions of more people.
But this is how governments view their populations. And these are, and so by Vladimir Putin saying, we don't want that area, he's essentially saying exactly what Ukraine thinks about those people, that they're worthless without saying it.
Well,
Ukraine and the Nazis,
I mean,
came out and said they're worthless. You would have to think, by the way that the U.S. government treats our people, that we think a lot of people in America are worthless.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of useless eaters here is what our government thinks about us. But
they just don't come out on TV and say.
But Vladimir Putin also didn't take the Donbass area because he would have been called an aggressor. I mean, there was no real upside to him there. As long as those people weren't being slaughtered. But the problem is they kept getting slaughtered. But in 2015, he didn't know that the Ukrainian government, they signed an agreement in the Minsk Accords to say Ukraine was going to stop trying to murder all these people in the Donbass. And they ignored it. They never recognized it. They kept shelling them. They kept killing their own people, the Ukrainian ethnic Russian Ukrainians there. And so Vladimir Putin, I mean, if he had taken the Donbass after taking Crimea, the whole world would have been up in arms. He had no real upside to that. I am not saying Vladimir Putin is a good guy, but I mean, he's played this about as cool as he could. But when you have got somebody on Ukrainian national television, they're just coming right out saying it. We want to murder these people. There's too many people over there. They're worth nothing to us. They're superfluous people. We need to exterminate them. He says these words out loud. That is what the Ukrainian government is.
To make better use of that area as a resource to this country.
Just to get rid of them. It is like the Jews. It is like the Jews in Nazi Germany are the ethnic Russians in Ukraine. What people are doing by changing their Facebook, and it's, you know, I support the people of Ukraine. They've been hoodwinked. They have been bamboozled by their own government and by our government. I mean, Zelensky has sold them out. They're cannon fodder. They are just, their lives are going to be destroyed because of, you know, NATO's lust for power, U.S. lust for power, Zelensky's lust for power. You just had a guy go on Tucker Carlson and tell you, oh, he socked away millions and millions of dollars in offshore accounts. Zelensky's as corrupt as it gets. Ukrainian government's known to be the fourth most corrupt government in the world, so he's playing the game. The Ukrainian people are just, they're just caught in the crosshairs of disgusting people on all sides. And so they're going to be, their country is going to be destroyed if this isn't ended. I mean,
well, there's so many conspiracy theories out there that are just kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but it does make you wonder if this whole NATO, this whole U.S.-backed coalition is backing the Nazis in terms of leadership. Who in leadership in those areas have those same types of views that aren't vocalized to the extent that they are in Ukraine?
Oh, maybe Operation Paperclip. You know, the U.S. had our program where we brought Nazis over the United States. They funded NASA. They started NASA, formed NASA. There's all kinds of things. Maybe we've been run by Nazis all along. There's a good movie in there somewhere. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, we only got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to read this one thing. I'm talking to Josh West here in the studio, but I'm just talking about this. This is propaganda that has gotten Americans to go along with the Nazi regime, which is just bizarro world. But I'm starting to be less and less surprised by what they can get away with. This is in this Mint Press news story, and if anybody wants to email me, it's MikeMadison@WIAB.com. I'll send you the story. It's fascinating to look at all of the government players, the K Street lobbyists, the actual PR firms. Some of the biggest PR firms in the world are working on Ukraine's image. Ukraine's propaganda strategy earned praise from NATO commander who told the Washington Post, quote, They are really excellent in STRATCOM, media, info ops, and also PSYOPs. The Post ultimately concluded that, quote, Western officials say that while they cannot independently verify much of the information that Kiev puts out about the evolving battlefield situation, including casualty figures for both sides, it nonetheless represents highly effective STRATCOM. And this is the Washington Post. I mean, this is the leader of NATO going, look, we can't verify anything they're saying, but man, they are good at the media, the info ops, and the psyops. They are doing, they're just knocking the cover off the ball. And that's exactly what it is. It's working on a lot of people.
It really is. And so, you know, I guess the encouragement is you've got to just dig a little bit. It's right below the surface. You don't have to dig and dig and dig and dig. There's so much information out there. You can go readily access a lot of this stuff for the moment.
Yeah,
it's
for
the there. Moment. Go do some research and realize that we are, as the global population, we're being played big time.
Yeah. And these poor Ukrainians that people support, you know, say they support. If you support the Ukrainian people, you should be demanding that the U.S. I mean, we've not had any efforts towards diplomacy. Do you know that our Secretary of State has not talked to the Russians since the invasion? Not once.
Well,
no diplomacy.
And
whatsoever.
My last thought, 10 million of them have left. If their government was so great, why have over 10 million taken this opportunity to get refuge somewhere else?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens in the end. I would love to see. I need to get boots on the ground. I've had a couple people recommend people I might be able to have on the show that are actually there. It's just, like you said earlier, it is so hard to figure out who to trust in this stuff. You just never know who you're talking to. Anyway, that's all the time we got today. Thanks, Josh, for sitting in with me for an hour. For everybody else, I'll see you tomorrow.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.